Have a forum, and we're now calling the meeting to order.
Okay.
Let's have a welcome of new trustees.
And that's Steve.
Thank you.
Welcome, Steve.
Yeah, welcome.
Yes, Steve.
Thank you. Thanks for your willingness.
Your willingness, yes.
Yeah.
Good word. You're gonna learn a lot.
Yeah, I plan to.
Yep.
We're trying to have a good time while we're learning.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
It can be entertaining.
Okay, any other acknowledgements?
That's it.
Okay.
That was it, just.
Welcome the new trustee. And it says singular trustee, so I believe what I read.
Yeah.
Okay, we need approval of the minutes for the April 22nd meeting and the June 17th. And we can take the first one, April 22nd. And will somebody make a motion if we've had time to look at the minutes? If not.
Well, I wasn't here, so I can't, right?
There you go.
I didn't attend the meeting. Oh, I can't? Okay.
Okay.
We're kind of loose on that.
I don't hear anybody saying we need more time, so is there a motion to approve those 2 minutes?
Motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Dave and Steve. Oh, Steve, did Steve say something?
Steve's gonna take the second.
Steve has to second it.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Oh, I can second it. Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for both of those as I read it. And let's have the yay votes. All those in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, and they've been approved and seconded and we're off and running. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the quarterly investment market review and liquidity report. And who is tackling? Are you tackling?
Andrew's going to go ahead. Andrew's on
Andrew.
The line.
Okay, good.
And Jillian's also from Columbia. So
that's what an assistant does, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So hopefully everybody can hear.
Oh, this is Andrew. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, Andrew.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right, well, I'll take it away. Past quarterly reports, I've got the same kind of format here. We've got an economic overview with some data points, just to highlight some of the key economic and capital market figures that our investment team keeps track of when we're trying to determine how to allocate or, you know, tweak investment portfolios from time to time. So I'll go over a little bit of that. Feel free to jump in and have any questions if there are any that arise. And then we'll take a look at the summary of the accounts and then some performance reports about how they've done so far year to date. So I kept the performance report data as of the end of the quarter just to keep it consistent with our past quarterly reports. But some of the economic data, I've got a little more recent data since the end of the quarter. So I've updated that a little bit here on the page 2. So I'll go over that. The grid at the top is a whole bunch of numbers, but it goes over some key data points that I think are important to know when we're talking about the economy and how it's doing. And so I'll run through these figures. Hopefully it won't put you to sleep. But it tells kind of an interesting story with these numbers about what the current state of the economy is and where many economists think it's going to be going forward. So the top two lines involve GDP or gross domestic product. That's the main economic data point that people consider when they talk about, you know, how is the U.S. economy doing or how is it growing or detracting. So we've got a couple of different columns here. 2020 gives you a little historical precedent on how it did last year. The current read is the most current, you know, year-over-year figure that we're seeing for a number of these data points. And so they can be a little bit, you know, higher or lower than you typically would see, especially considering where we're coming out of year-over-year figures from last year. And then we have 2021, 22, 23. And so those are the, like, annualized estimates going out the next few years. So real GDP year-over-year growth last year obviously was a pandemic driven recession. We saw actually a contraction in GDP, -3.5%. Not surprised, both the, you know, consumption and manufacturing sides of the economy were shut down for a large part of the year. So we're familiar with that story. The year-over-year figures look kind of eye-popping when you look at a lot of these numbers, not only in the economy, but in, you know, capital market returns. But again, coming off a year last year where we're in the droves of a pandemic, the economy shut down and people were required to stay at home and businesses shuttered, some of these year-over-year numbers are going to look pretty staggering. So current read, 12% growth year-over-year. You can almost ignore that because it's kind of, it's an anomaly to see GDP numbers like that. But if you look at 2021, 22, 23, this is kind of the name of the story we're seeing on a lot of these economic data points. We see really positive, strong growth for 2021. We're looking at over 6% GDP growth. That's very high for a developed economy like the United States. And then you see it, expectations are that it's going to taper off over the next couple of years and really get closer to the long-term average for the U.S., which is between about 2 and 2.5% growth. That's, you know, the typical growth we've seen, you know, over the last couple of decades for an economy the size of the United States and how mature it is in terms of its growth. So very high year-over-year numbers, 6% growth, higher than 6% growth here in the U.S., and then tapering off. So you still see 4.3% growth in 2022 and then 2.3% in 2023. So a few years from now, expectations are that this really rapid recovery will kind of taper off and we'll get back to normalized kind of chugging along 2 and 2.5% growth. The other figures here below that, CPI, YOY is year-over-year percentage growth, and then PCE. Those are two measures of inflation, so consumer price index and then personal consumption expenditures. They just measure inflation a little bit differently, but both of those are inflation numbers. You can see in 2020, very low inflation, below 1.5%. Current read, we're seeing pretty high numbers, 5.4% in the CPI, 3.6%. And 2021, you'll notice similar kind of story here, kind of, you know, historically very hot, historically ignoring the 70s and 80s, pretty decent inflation rates at 4% here, 3.5% for the year. To be expected, we're coming off a year where not only were we in, we're in a pandemic, but the federal government and the Federal Reserve had pumped a bunch of liquidity and cash into the economy and consumers' hands. And combine that with supply chain issues and materials having issues getting to factories. So there's a lot of different things that are pushing up prices. So I'm not surprised to see some headline inflation higher than normal. But you'll see going out the next couple of years, kind of getting back to that 2-2.5% average over the next couple of years. So with all the concerns of inflation, a lot of people are aware of that. You saw a huge spike in lumber prices, and that's come down significantly from where it spiked earlier in the year. But a number of other things, including supply chain issues, a lot of that should resolve once, you know, many of the economies, both here in the U.S. and globally, get more people vaccinated and get to a place where there'll be significantly less roadblocks to having manufacturing and businesses open. Consumer spending and industrial production, those are two sides of the economy that we look at. So, you know, obviously consumer spending is important for the U.S. economy. It's, you know, over two-thirds of the economy is driven by consumer spending. So you'll see here in 2021, 8.2, that's a very high year-over-year growth for any portion of the economy. But not surprised, there's a lot of pent-up demand from people being stuck at home last year. And prior to this new coronavirus Delta variant spike going around the country, a lot of people were getting out and spending their money, spending their stimulus checks. So we saw consumer spending very positive growth, and still year-over-year numbers for 2021, 8% growth is very high. But again, not surprised coming out of a pandemic year. But again, this similar trend tapering down into kind of long-term average growth. You look at 2023. Both in consumer spending and industrial production, which, you know, you can think of as manufacturing or factories, you know, getting back to that long-term average, which is more normal, about 2.5%. Unemployment is improved significantly from the depths that we saw last year. You know, the current read, I think, was close to, I want to say I thought I heard 5.4% recently. This chart says 5.9. I think it's even lower than that. So you see here, you know, the unemployment rate is improving, 5.5%, 4%, and 3.7 in a couple of years from now. I think the bigger concern with jobs is many companies are finding it difficult to find enough, one, either qualified workers or workers that are willing to come work for them at the pay they're offering. So, in one of the notes I have below, there's almost 11 million job openings out there. I think almost everywhere you go, you see a sign on window fronts that say now hiring, or even bonuses, hiring bonuses that we haven't seen in many businesses before. So I think the challenge in the unemployment isn't necessarily the unemployment rate's improving. It's just that there's so many job openings, it's difficult for businesses to find enough workers to fill the positions at this point. A number of factors go into that. I don't think there's one easy answer to explain why that is. But a number of those things that I would say certainly are driving that. You know, I think there's still a lot of people that have some fears or concerns about this Delta variant. You know, even if they're vaccinated, passing it on to family members that might not be vaccinated. Childcare is, you know, it was expensive and difficult to find before the pandemic, and now that's even more difficult to find. So people that have young children and are trying to get back to work, that's a challenge. You know, people have become accustomed to more flexible work schedules. You've seen a lot of people, you know, quit their jobs or move to new ones. There is some unemployment benefits that are winding down from the federal level, so that might entice more people to get back to work, but more to see there. It's hard to tell. So that's one of the things that's kind of puzzling for economists about filling those jobs so we can continue this kind of momentum in economic growth. The central bank rate, that's the Federal Reserve, the Fed funds rate that we refer to. It's, for all intents and purposes, it's actually zero. It's in a range between 0 and 0.25. That's not likely to change. The Fed has indicated they're likely to unwind their bond buying program before they increase interest rates. And they've said they're willing to let inflation run a little ahead of their long-term target. Considering that it's been running below its long-term target for quite a number of years. U.S. Treasury bond yields, essentially that's the rate you can earn on a 10-year U.S. government bond, and it's only about 1.3%, so very low. The bond market is, you know, extremely low paying yields, and that's primarily driven by, you know, the low Federal Reserve rate that they've anchored at zero for a while. We expect that to go up a little bit. You can see the expectations are at the end of the year, maybe 1.6. If things improve even more, if there's more vaccinations and the Delta variant becomes not such a concern, I would expect a 10-year U.S. government bond yield to go up a little bit. And that's positive. When it goes up, that's typically a sign bond investors are expecting the economy to improve and continue to do well. A couple of the other points, you know, we saw in the second quarter 6.5% annualized growth, certainly a good number and on pace with what economists were expecting. You know, we were seeing some really positive signs of a quicker recovery than people anticipated, but that was before the concerns of this Delta variant came through. And so actually economists have dialed down their kind of lofty expectations just slightly. Taking into consideration there's kind of this new wave going across the country. The last several months of manufacturing data and also consumer services data has been very positive. It kind of peaked out in July in terms of services. We saw the services really, the index really spiked during the beginning of the summer and with people getting out and spending their money, like I mentioned before. There's been, in spite of the number of job openings, there's been quite a few people, new jobs that have been filled. So the last few months of data, we saw, you know, 850,000 in June, 943,000 in July, only 235,000 in August. That was a little bit lower than, it was lower than expectations, but not surprising considering, I think, this new Delta variant concerns around that. In terms of capital markets, the second quarter was another positive one for equity or stock investors. The U.S. did a little bit better than international markets, but both were up. Bond market did a little bit better in the second quarter. As you may recall, it was negative in the first 3 months of the year, you know, as interest rates went up, and then they've come back down a little bit since then. So kind of a rough year for bond investors at this point. I'll pause there, see if there's any questions before I move on.
I have a question. Maybe I missed it, but what's the difference between the GDP year over year versus the GDP now forecast? How is that measured differently? I'm sorry if I missed you explaining that.
Sure. The GDP now forecast is it's essentially kind of like a real-time estimate for the next quarter's estimation. So it's out of the Atlanta Fed's the Federal Reserve Bank Atlanta office, and they have this program where they look at different economic data in real time and update it from week to week. So it's kind of like a running projection of, okay, where do they expect the next quarter's GDP number to come in based on all the data that they currently received. The one above that, the 12.2. This is run by a number of different Bloomberg consensus forecasts. So I'd say the GDP now forecast is a better indication of where the current read is. That other one takes into consideration, I think, just currently where we are from 1 year ago based on some other data points, which can be a little bit more volatile than the GDP now forecast.
So you're saying GDP growth in 2021 is going to be closer to 3.7 than the 6.2?
No. So the 6.2 would be, on average, where do most of the economists believe for the year, at the end of the year, the annualized growth would be. The 3.7 is the Atlanta Fed's current estimate on where the next quarter's GDP is. So for the third quarter, based off all the data that they've got now, they think the year-over-year for the third quarter, just the third quarter estimate coming up, will be closer to 3.7. Okay. But the 6.2 is the overall for the year estimate.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay, moving on to the next item. I'm buried in my agenda.
No. He's not done yet.
Oh, okay.
He was just...
Yeah, sorry.
Now he gets to go through the...
I know, I bored John to sleep. He's ready to move on.
But I'm awake now.
Page 3, so I'll go through the rest of this really succinctly. Page 3 is just a summary, and so I've separated out the defined benefit accounts and then the defined contribution accounts. So as a reminder, there's a capital growth account in the defined benefit, and then there's a liquidity account that we set aside funds that we know are expected to be distributed within the next 12 months or so. The next few pages is the typical performance report. So I'm on page 4. At the very top right, there is a pie chart just giving you an overall allocation of where the portfolio is in terms of versus stocks and bonds. So 65% equities or stocks and about 32% in fixed income or bonds. We have a small allocation to a real estate strategy, which is categorized under alternative investments, and just a little bit in cash there. The quarter was pretty positive. I'll look down in the grid below with the numbers. So we have, starting on the left, there's a total account. Then we break it down into equities, and we compare that to the MSCI All Country World Index. So that's kind of the index or benchmark that we compare the equities or stocks to. Then we have fixed income or bonds, and we compare that to the Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index. And then there's that small real estate fund, which is under alternatives and can cash. So for the quarter, a fairly positive quarter, up 5.4%. Again, primarily driven by the equity returns. So if you look down in the 3-month column here, equity returns of about 7.49, just slightly above the index, a positive quarter for fixed income, you know, 1.93, again, slightly above the index. The real estate fund did very well for the quarter, up 6.34. So far year to date, so look at the next column, year to date for the first 6 months of the year, the portfolio was up 7.5%. So, you know, very, very positive returns, again, primarily driven by the equity returns, which were above 12. You'll see fixed income, you know, slightly down, flat to slightly down. But you look at the Barclays U.S. Aggregate Bond Index, so bonds are down on the year through June, minus 1.6%. Then the real estate fund has done very well so far year to date. The other columns going to the right there, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, and since inception, those are annualized average returns. So on average, what is the portfolio returned over those time periods? And like I mentioned with the economic data points, a lot of these 1 year, year over year numbers are look kind of eye popping here. You look at 22.68% returns year over year, you know, coming out of a year like 2020 last year. Some of this isn't surprising, but you look at equity returns, 38-39%. I caution clients to not expect to see those type of returns year over year, just because it was a pretty big anomaly last year when we saw the stock market sell off and recover. But you look at long-term average, you know, portfolios held up very well throughout the time, again, primarily driven by the equity portfolio, equity side of the portfolio. Any questions on that page?
It was looking good, Andrew.
Yeah. It's all Andrew's fault. Okay.
Right? Well, so he's not going to guarantee the 38%.
Really? Yeah. I'll look at the next page, page five, and just touch on one thing here. As part of the goal of the portfolio, it's to not only you know, outpace inflation, but it's CPI plus 3%. So over time, you know, that's certainly the goal. We're looking to outperform that, and the portfolio has done that over time. But the bigger story that I would like to show is really in this inception to date column. So it's at the upper right of the page. You see inception to date. So since the account was opened back in 2007, you can see what the portfolio original value was, you know, $537,000. Since then, $4.3 million has been added to it. You know, that's net of anything coming in or out. But the power of long-term investing, you know, really shows you if you hang in there and you invest diligently, well diversified over time, you can, you know, meet your withdrawal requirements and grow your portfolio at the same time. CC income earned $962,000, but market appreciation $3.6 million, and then where the portfolio was at the end of the quarter, $9.4 million. You can see, you know, what this paints the picture for me is, you know, the power of investing over long time periods in a diligent way can help you grow your portfolio.
Yep. We like that part.
I'll move on to the next. I'm sorry?
I just said we like that part because I keep thinking the philosophy of where this board has been for all those years is that we would like to see less tax dollars into retirement and more investment dollars into retirement, growth of investment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fair statement, isn't it?
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On page six, this gives you just a little look under the hood, a closer look at some of the breakdown. The one thing I like on this page is the top 10 performers. This kind of shows you what has performed well through the first 6 months of the year. And unlike last year, where really growth-oriented strategies did very well, this year it's been value-oriented strategies. So the top performers, top three here, actually value-oriented strategies. We have Victory Sycamore, mid-cap fund, you know, up 22%. A small cap value fund up 18%. Then we have a large cap value and large cap growth funds that have done very well so far this year. So that gives you a little bit of flavor on what styles have worked and performed the best so far this year. On page 7, this is just the liquidity account. So not a whole lot to show or write home about here, because it really is just a holding account, an account where we're preserving capital, not trying to lose it before it gets distributed out. So we typically have a large cash or really short-term U.S. Treasury position in here to keep it safe. So same with page 8 and page 9, the same type of report, but nothing really to show because it's just kind of a holding account. So I'll skip over to page 10. Page 10 is the same report, but for the defined contribution portfolio. And we manage this identically to the defined benefit growth account. So the numbers here should look very similar. You can see we're close to 64% here, at a little over 30% in fixed income. At the end of the quarter, there's a little bit more cash in here, and again, we have a little 2% allocation to that real estate fund. So for the quarter, similar, almost identical returns. You're looking at 5.4% for the portfolio. Again, driven by about 7.5% returns from equities. The year-to-date column, similar that we saw to the previous defined benefit growth account, 7.5% returns for the year, driven by, the above 12% growth in equities and a little bit of allocation to the real estate fund. But over time periods, you can see, equities have performed very well. Fixed income has performed very well over time. So going back to since inception, above a little bit above 6% returns on average per year. Okay. Page 11 is that same growth of a dollar chart with the comparison. But again, this to me, the thing that paints the picture here is that it's really that inception to date column. So the original value of the portfolio was about $3.2 million. Since then, considering everything that's come in and out, there's been about $2.6 $7 million gone out, but the portfolio has grown enough to meet that demand and then some, and so the portfolio continues to be above what you started with, despite all the withdrawals that have come out. So that's really the goal that we're trying to meet, not only meeting the obligations to pay out the retirement payouts, but trying to beat market returns and inflation as well. Page 12 is the last one in the report. Same report here. You can see the top 10 performers. Gives you a little breakdown in the pie chart about U.S. versus international exposure. So we've been overweight U.S. versus international for a number of years, and that's done very well. Moving forward with U.S. valuations fairly high right now, we're starting to think about changing a little bit to some international exposure, but not a huge number of changes at the moment. So in summary, portfolio's done very well. I don't advise that you necessarily change the allocation that you have. It's close to a 65% stocks, 35% fixed income or bonds. And that's a typical balanced portfolio that we have for majority of our clients that have accounts that are similar to this. So no huge changes or recommendations there from me.
Yeah, looking good.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Cannot complain about it.
Are we any other questions on this one?
One thing I'd bring up, I don't know if it's on the agenda, but every 3 years we're required to update the investment policy statement.
Yes.
And so I emailed that as well.
And,
and I didn't make any material changes to it. I tweaked just some of the wording or verbiage a little bit, but the allocation ranges are the same, and so no real major changes there, but I thought I'd bring that up because that's something we do need to update every 3 years.
Okay. Yep, we've got it, and we'll read it and go through it again the next meeting.
Yeah, that would be good.
So everybody get a chance to look at it.
Yeah, I got through it. I compared it to the last one, it's pretty...
Is it okay, you did?
Pretty close, yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
All the numbers are the same.
Yeah, I don't see it changing. I can't remember if we have to take this to council.
I think it would speed it up for the next, for this session and next meeting.
Yeah, we could do it.
After we've had a chance to read it.
Everybody can look at it, yeah.
So I'd like to read it.
Because that'll give me time to get to it too.
I just wanted to comment, the next meeting will be quite busy because we are doing the employees annual meeting.
Oh, good point, yeah. Well, let me talk to Spencer. I can't remember if we have to take this to council. I think we do.
Well, Spencer signs it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it has to go to...
Yeah, he will have to sign it.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I don't know about that. Jillian, did Spencer sign this last time?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Did Spencer sign the investment policy last time, or was it our chair?
That's a good question. I can look at that.
Let me try and pull it up here.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, it says the city, but it doesn't say who.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. I can't remember who signed it.
We're just, I know, a recommending body to the...
Yeah, we are recommending.
Rebecca signed it.
Rebecca signed it, okay, so it was the chair.
She was acting chair, I think.
She was chair at the time, yeah. Yeah, let's go...
Well, if we read it in advance, I would say it would be a very quick item.
Yeah, I agree.
Dave just, like...
Dave says there's been no change, I mean, he's gone through it.
No, and if Spencer looks at it and he's comfortable with it, when you come into the next meeting, then that would be good enough for me too.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, we'll do that, we'll just... Andrew, we'll go ahead and do that. Jillian, we'll do that, we'll bring it the next time, we'll just do a quick agenda item.
Okay.
And so, yeah, give everybody time to look at it, plus Braulio and, plus I think the two counselors will probably want to look at it too, so... We will make sure everybody reads it before that and we'll have a real quick agenda item, hopefully.
So...
Sounds good.
So we're skipping now just to item six, is that where we are?
Yeah, we're at six right now. We do have the upcoming retirements. We've had a couple recently.
Well, Peggy over there, 6 o'clock.
Peggy left, there's Jim Gunter left. These are longtime employees. And then Greg Evans, he leaves, he leaves next week is his last. And I think he's probably, I don't know when he's scheduled to get his, I don't know if he's even turned his paperwork, and I don't remember seeing it yet.
This is a question. Do we have some kind of, like they do in the service, if you have equipment and such like that, you reach a point where that equipment is supposed to have died. And so it's atrophied, and then you get a replacement for it. Do we have something like that? Like when people retire, we kind of debrief, you know, whatever we want to debrief about their retirement. Maybe you do it in the business office and...
Yeah, that's a question for Barb. I mean, and for really the department head. I don't know, John.
Okay.
That's a good question. We could find out. I wish Barb was here, but she's on vacation.
Yeah, there's some things that maybe... Like if they're all aiming towards that and we don't want to depreciate whatever the capital is we have, that we might want to make a little different suggestion or at least be ready for questions, which would be to their advantage.
I don't have to have Barb answer that question, but like I said, after Greg, Greg's been here, oh boy, he's been here quite a few years.
Do you know what, how they're going with
the retirement?
He came after me. Out, or
say that again?
Have they told you how they're doing their retirement?
No, I have not seen that. Okay. I have not seen that yet. I don't know if he's going to take an annuity or if he's going to take a lump sum. I don't know. Because usually I see it, and then I approve it, then Braulio approves it. But like I said, I have not seen his paperwork. We just turned in his stuff about 2 weeks ago. So I don't know where Silverstone Hub is at the moment. So
I think we have enough liquidity anyway.
Yeah.
Cashes out.
Yeah, I think we do.
500-something thousand or whatever it was. So.
Yeah, Jillian, I'm not sure of his account balance because I have not seen it yet.
Okay.
So I would say we're all kind of in the dark on Greg Evans. But like I said, he's been here quite a while. But I don't know what his plans are yet. So we can't set something aside yet. But after that, I can't think of anybody else that's going to be retiring.
I don't know if it's next meeting, but sometime I think it'd be kind of good to kind of review how we determine what we're going to tell or help people with when they come in for whatever the counseling that we do. And we do counseling each year.
Yeah, we've discussed that before here, I think, right?
Yeah, we have.
We give them all their options of where they can get their money and what the circumstances are.
Right, we set up a book. We've got a book Spencer and I put together.
Yeah.
And it's got all the layout. It's not this. It's what do they call it? What's that book you can buy, the dumbed down version? It's the simplified version of our retirement policy.
Retirement for idiots.
There you go. Retirement for idiots. There you go.
But we won't look right at them when we use the word idiot.
We won't do that.
Keep your eyes down when you talk
about it. Isn't Peggy coming up? Hawker?
Oh, she's going to be going first of the year, I believe.
I saw that.
Good point. I forgot about that, Steve. Yeah. That's so far off. I was like, well, it's not that far off.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's not.
No. I don't know what she's planning, if she's going to do an annuity, but as like I said, we're in the dark until we get the paperwork back.
She has some time in too, right?
Yeah, she's been around here too, yeah.
I think we're answering quite a few of the questions on HR report upcoming retirement. So.
That's what I'm doing. I'm doing that because Barb usually briefs me, but we haven't had a chance to get together.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. And, you know, but once we see it, then, you know, if it's a lump sum, if they're going to take a lump sum, we'd probably call Jillian and she can move that money to a safe spot. Right. So.
Then we call West Coast Investment.
Yeah.
Not very many people do that. Do they really take a lump sum?
Last time we had one, Jillian, it's been a long time since somebody took a lump sum. Isn't that true?
I can't think of a recent one at all.
You mean as opposed to an annuity?
Yeah, opposed to an annuity. I think the last
one... Are you talking about the...
Go ahead.
Are you talking about the trustees instructing us to transfer funds out of one of the accounts or a retiree taking a lump sum?
A retiree taking a lump sum.
Yeah, I don't recall the last time we've had a big one. I know that there have been some, we move from the defined contribution into the defined benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To make the monthly annuity payments out of there. But yeah, I don't recall there being any significant lump sums.
I think the last one was Lanny Schultz, and that was years ago.
But I hope our philosophy is that we, when we counsel, and that's too strong of a word, I think, people about retirement and what's coming up, that we are answering their questions. We're not necessarily formulating a recommendation to
no,
them.
No, we can't do that. We can't give them. We can't give them advice or recommendations. We have to be really cautious of what we say, and they know it. And when we do the employee meetings, that's the first thing I usually tell them. It's like, you guys are getting ready to retire. Go find yourself a financial advisor. Go spend $500 because it'll be the best $500 you've ever spent. So, yeah, that's about as close to the advice I can give them. So that's pretty much it on the retirees.
You're gonna. You've given us our chance, and this is a report.
This is the report, yep. Right.
Okay, I guess we're to develop next agenda, annual employee meeting. We've talked a little bit about that, but any recommendations, Kay?
Follow the plan we've used for the last 3 years. It's worked out.
Yeah, we meet first thing in the morning, and then...
10:30.
Good.
And then about...
10:45.
But only you and Braulio just...
Is do the employees portions, yeah.
We're here for the meeting. And
you're here for the meeting, you're skewed,
you
you're gone,
and
yeah.
Suffer, and we get to go have coffee.
Yep.
We have coffee and cookies before. And then
that's true, and good cookies too, by the way.
And I love
my favorite cookies.
Because it's about money in their pocket, so it's a fun meeting.
Yeah, it's a good meeting. So yeah, so we'll just follow that same agenda. So basically it was, we started at 9:30 and the next meeting will be the 28th. That works out good.
Does that work out for everyone?
I hope so.
It's the,
don't know, can't look at my calendar.
It shouldn't interfere with any Halloween celebration.
Oh boy. Okay.
So, well, we have had it on Friday of Halloween when we have children going around.
I love it because we have, like, I gave out 1,000 pieces of candy last year. I live in above Fred Meyer there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dead end street, which is really good for safety of kids. But
yep.
So we can all confirm that and I'll let everyone know.
You'll send out a calendar.
Yeah.
We'll send out a calendar and make sure. So okay. Andrew, you're going to stick around for the employee meetings too?
I can if you'd like.
Yeah, we would probably, your reports are awesome. So yeah.
Yeah, very good job.
We'd love to have you there.
Yeah, especially for questions.
Sure.
Yeah, for any questions they may have too. Because you helped them a lot last year. Yeah, so
that's great.
Good.
Okay.
So then, basically the 28th is, you know, for Andrew and the chair and myself, the morning is pretty much for the retirees.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And
yeah, sure is.
What was the date for that?
It's October 28th. We'll start at 9:30 with this meeting, and then shortly thereafter we'll go into the employee meetings. Probably we did the DB first, then we did the DC. So that I figured October 28th, the whole from 9:30 to noon, for us, Andrew.
Okay.
And Jillian, I think Jillian, you were in there too, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I was. And are you expecting us to be in person, or are we able to do the Zoom?
You know,
option.
We're probably going back to Zoom. So,
okay.
I would say right now.
I think that's our preference, certainly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. We're supposed to make a decision on that next Tuesday. So.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Very good. But that's October 28th.
Yep. October 28th starts at 9:30, and then we'll probably be done by noon.
Okay, I'll put it on our calendars, and then we'll just wait to hear from you on
yep. Okay,
more details or with the link for that.
Yep, Kay will get everything out. So I think we're good to go. Okay.
Okay. And if there are no more points or any more questions or any more information wanted to be dispelled, we're at the end to adjournment.
How'd you go?
Thank you all for coming.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks you guys.
Bye.